Jesus is not looking for spiritual wimps. He's looking for spiritual warriors. That as you rely on Him, your spine will now be stiffened. You will fight the good fight. You will contend earnestly for the faith. You will stand fast without wavering. Your resolve to advance the gospel at any and all costs will be quickened. And you will under no circumstances bend, buckle, nor break as the call to take the gospel across the street and to the uttermost parts of the world is simply irrevocable. You are in a battle. I am in a battle. And Satan is not our buddy. He's not some little guy in a red suit, funny eyebrows, goatee, pitchfork. He literally, the word says, he masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light. Yeah. Like he looks really good. Yeah. He looks like truth. But how will you know what's false if you first don't know what's true?
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verse 10, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Where Do You Get Your Strength?
The next part of the verse says this, Be strong in who? In the Lord. Now this is where a lot of us get tripped up. We see our circumstances and we go, wait a minute, here's the problem. So I, in my own power, in my own strength, by my own resources, have to find the solution. Does God want you to work, to be enabled to do what you need to do? When I say work, I'm talking about that He will guide you in obedience. Like He may say, go here, go there, talk to that person, don't talk to that person. Do we have a part to play in this? And the answer is a resounding amen. We just don't all sit around, right? Now, let's just sit around today, just hope this thing can work out. Something's going to fall out of the sky and make my life better. No, He's going to guide you by His Spirit into truth, that we have a task, that we need to encourage people, that we need to go and spread the gospel wherever we're going. But ultimately, the power does not reside within me or you. Ultimately, the strength and power resides within Jesus. Amen. He says, be strong. Be strong. It means this, to increase in strength, to be strengthened. But the original language actually gives this definition. It's constant. Don't miss that. Like, I can be strong 1 minute, and then the next minute, not be strong. No, the word here, the way Paul is using it, he's saying this, finally, my brethren, be strong constantly, habitually. Like, don't take a vacation from being strong in the Lord. Like, just cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. He Himself, Jesus, is our peace. He Himself is the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. Be strong constantly in the Lord. You can even take it to this extreme. In that original word, you can also disseminate to be comforted. Now put all that together in this little bitty verse we're looking at. Finally, at last, in conclusion, be strong constantly on an ongoing basis. Don't take a break. Don't take a vacation. In who? The Lord. Oh, also, by the way, as you're being strong, relying on Him, depending on Him, you're being comforted. Amen. Woo, that's good, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, I need to be comforted. Man, this thing is a fight, not a fashion show. Time is fleeting, and the stakes are eternal. And we're going to be held accountable if we just sit back and sit on our time and sit on our talents and sit on our treasures. And Jesus shows up going, what'd you do with these things I entrusted to you? I love these thoughts here that just continue to permeate my mind even right now. In, that word in seems so insignificant. Be strong in the Lord. In. It means to be like in. Pretty creative, huh? In. Like you become part of. And when you're part of Jesus, when you're in Him, you become His willing slave, right? Paul says this all the time. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, that has a really negative connotation in the flesh, doesn't it? Why would anyone be a prisoner when the American dream says you're not to be imprisoned to anyone or anything, just to you and your dreams, and you go and do whatever you want to do? And the Bible screams just the opposite. No, we're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we find our strength in Christ and in Christ alone, period. Like Jesus, and we don't add anything to it. Just Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master. He owns me. He's my everything. He just takes over my life. He comes in and wrecks it gloriously, and then He reconciles me to the Father. He reconciles you to the Father, and now you finally have that peace with God that you've been craving. Amen. That's why this is so, so key. I made this note. I said this. Don't miss this. I said sustaining strength for the journey is only found in Christ alone. Sustaining strength. Again, sustaining means this, it's ongoing, it's constant, it's habitual. Like I could just say, hey, strength for your journeys in Jesus. Well, what I could be saying is that on one day you're going to have strength, but on the next day you're not. No, I'm talking about ongoing, constant, sustaining strength is only found in Christ. It's not in the addictions. It's not in living in a certain neighborhood. It's not driving a certain car, not marrying a certain person. Sustaining strength that is ongoing is only found in Christ and Him alone. That's why key number two, write it down, key number two. I must rely solely on the Lord because I am powerless on my own. I must rely solely on the Lord because I am powerless on my own. Here's a few things that God spoke into my heart in preparation that I'm going to share with you. Just give them to you. This is what God spoke to me, and I pray that it ministers to your heart. One of Satan's greatest weapons against us is our own self-dependence. He knows that if we are walking in our own strength, we are toast. And that toast is burnt. Next, the entire point of the gospel reveals that we are broken beyond self-repair. Like when I look at the cross, I see how in dire need I really am. Like I can never get out of this jam. I can't manufacture it. God is at His best in me when I am at my weakest. Total dependence on God does not include partial dependence on myself. And lastly, when I'm strong in the Lord, there it is, when I'm strong in the Lord, I will have the strength of the Lord. Like when you go in, that's when you get the of. So many people want the of, they just don't want to go in. Jesus is like, I'm here. Like, I'm here. And we're like, man, yeah, I'll take the blessing. Amen. I'd have to be an absolute idiot not to take the blessing. Jesus goes, no, you first got to go in me. And then you get the of. We got to go in His strength. And then we walk of His strength. Listen to these supporting verses. Just write down the reference. I'm going to read them one after another, but just listen to talking about the power dependence on Jesus in the midst of your storm. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus is speaking. You are the branches. He who abides or remains in me and I in him, see how that works both ways, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul writes to that church in Corinth that had some struggles. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. 2 Corinthians 3:5, love this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Okay, wait a minute. I thought I'm sufficient myself. That's what the guy on the TV keeps telling me. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God's. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul goes deeper. Therefore, I, Paul, take pleasure. I think to be good in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And lastly, 2 Timothy 2:1, as Paul encourages young Timothy in the faith, he says, you therefore, my son, very affectionate again, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Wow, isn't that good? See, Paul is so emphatic about the power and where it comes from. Paul knew. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. But Paul knew. Paul knew on that Damascus road that as he got radically rocked by the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, he knew where the power was going to reside. He knew that it was Christ in him, the hope of glory. He knew it was nothing of himself. Matter of fact, you look at Paul's life, and here he is, executioner of Christians, holding coats. And then Paul, at the end of his life, as he's journeying closer and closer to that final day, he goes from that posture of pridefulness, and humility begins to invade his life. That, you know what I am? I'm the least of the apostles. No, wait a minute. No, I'm the chief of sinners. Wow. That's awesome. That's a man whose life was no longer his own. He knew where the power was residing, and it wasn't in him, but the Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is, the last part of this verse. Paul is so emphatic with this point. He just keeps drilling down. Look at this. And in the power of whose might? The Lord, his. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And Paul could have put a period, could have put an exclamation, would have been good. But he continues one more phrase just to drive the point home, to rock our world, to say, in the power of his might, be strong in the Lord and in the power and in the power and in the power of his might. I love this because that power in this context is referring to force and strength and dominion. Just dominion. The Lord Jesus Christ. We sang today that we serve not just a awesome God. We serve the awesome God. Amen? Like there's none other. None can be held up to him, to his standard, because it's him and him alone. The power, the ability, the extent of the power. The Lord is able. Do you see Paul here? He's got a mighty broad brush stroke as he's painting here. And he's trying to give the Ephesians this beautiful tapestry. He's trying to give us this beautiful portrait showing the array and the splendor and the glory of how great Jesus really is. That's why key number three, write it down. Last key, here it is. Key number three. The Lord's power is not confined nor limited to anything nor by anyone. Let me say that again. Key number three, the Lord's power is not confined nor limited to anything nor by anyone. I mean, think about this verse here in Ephesians chapter 3. If you go back up to Ephesians 3, verse 16 in your Bible, this sums it all up. Ephesians 3, 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be, here we go, strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Is that not good? That through the riches of his glory, the riches that we've been adopted through the royal righteous blood of Jesus Christ, we are heirs to the throne, the word says. We've been adopted. We've been made into his Christ-likeness, Romans 8:29, and are being conformed into his Christ-likeness through sanctification, ongoing, ongoing, ongoing change. See, God confounds the world, doesn't he? Yeah, we often think that, hey, you know, God, hey, this is how you're going to go and the direction, and you're going to pick this guy to do this because he's got this degree and this talent and this ability. And so many times God goes, no. I'm going to confound the wisdom of the world with things that look foolish to the world. I mean, just think about this, how God rocked our world. He rocked our world in many ways, but you could even say it in three extremes, through three simple instances, through a cross. But before that was a manger. So he took the manger. Just think about that. He rocked our world through a manger, a feeding trough. He rocked our world and confounded the wise through a cross. You mean you're not going to roll off the red carpet and Jesus is going to triumphantly come in on a white horse and just defeat the Romans? No, I'm going to nail him to a cross. I'm going to execute him so that you might be free from you. And then he used an empty tomb, a manger, a cross, and an empty tomb. That's how powerful my God is. Think about this in conclusion, church family. I pray God is just ministering to your heart through the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Think about even these Old Testament verses that point to the cross. Just listen to these Old Testament verses. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And all God's people said?
Amen.
And to those who have no might, there it is, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Isaiah 45:5-7. I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you. Though you have not known me, he says, that they may know. There's the reason. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and I create the darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So you say, preacher, I'm hearing you. But how do I be strong in the Lord in this culture? How do I be strong in the fight? How do I be strong when my world's falling apart? How do I be strong when the marriage just blew up? How do I be strong when I'm facing financial bankruptcy? How do I be strong when my children are away from the Lord? How do I be strong when I get that health report? How do I be strong? Be God-centered.
Yeah.
Christ-exalting.
Yeah.
Bible-driven.
Yeah.
And then prayer-saturated in everything you do.
Amen.
God-centered. Christ-exalting, Bible-driven, and prayer-saturated. The key to this text, church family, is that moment by moment, you have to have desperate dependence on Jesus for your daily strength. That's the key. You will never win the spiritual war that is waging around you if you fight this battle in your own strength. It won't happen. You'll get more tired. You'll become more despondent. There'll be more questions. Jesus is not looking for spiritual wimps. He's looking for spiritual warriors. That as you rely on Him, your spine will now be stiffened. You will fight the good fight. You will contend earnestly for the faith. You will stand fast without wavering. Your resolve to advance the gospel at any and all costs will be quickened. And you will under no circumstances bend, buckle, nor break as the call to take the gospel across the street and to the uttermost parts of the world is simply irrevocable. You are in a battle. I am in a battle. And Satan is not our buddy. He's not some little guy in a red suit, funny eyebrows, goatee, pitchfork. He literally, the word says, he masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light.
Yeah.
Like he looks really good.
Yeah.
He looks like truth. But how will you know what's false if you first don't know what's true? That's why so many people are being deceived. They're just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Come on.
Like, and that's inside the church.
That's right, sir.
You know why? Because here's my thought on this. We have more resources about this glorious, inspired book than ever before. And yet, in my opinion, in my travels, we're the most biblically illiterate generation that has ever existed. Because we're lazy.
That's right.
We're just lazy. Jesus says, if you're really going to be for me, you can't be against me. That's why, in conclusion, take it as a compliment. I want to encourage you. Take it as a compliment when the enemy slings his fiery darts at you. Take it as a compliment. Take it as a compliment. Why? As Spurgeon said, the great preacher Spurgeon once said, Satan never kicks a dead horse. Just take it as a compliment. Woo! Man, we're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Man, we count it all joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Satan, we don't take orders from you. We take orders from King Jesus. Amen? We know that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And our whole lives begin to change. At the end of the day, regardless of your life and what's going on, you can trust in the one who took your place.
Yeah.
And you can simply trust him, and his name is Jesus. He was born to die. He was executed so that you might live. He was and is your substitutionary atonement as he took your place, and he paid your debt.
Yeah.
Like he paid your debt. I'm buying them. How much do they cost? It's going to take your blood. I'm in, Jesus says. I'm buying him. I'm buying her. He conquered the grave to set you free. That's why Colossians 1:13-14 in conclusion just says this. who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Don't miss that. I mean, if you're in Christ Jesus today, you've been delivered from the power of darkness. Paul even said this. Oh, in my testimony, Paul said, I was delivered from the power of Satan to the power of God, from the power of darkness to the power of light. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, here we go, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Oh, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.
Yeah.
Father, we love you. Thank you for this time that we could open your word. Thank you for sending your Son to die that we might be set free. Oh, God, we give you the praise. God, we give you the glory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that went in that tomb. Worthy is the Lamb who went in that tomb. But oh, worthy is the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Worthy is the Lamb that on that third day, he bolted from that grave because death could not hold my King. Oh, praise and worthy be to Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray this in his name and his name only. And all God's people shout it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.